As we come today, let's bow our heads. Father, we come in the name of Jesus, and we do adore you. We thank you that you have been such a blessing to us, that you've kept us through seen and unseen dangers. As we come today to declare your truth, it is our prayer that we might decrease and that you might increase. Save someone today and encourage another. And when this time is done, we'll be so careful to give your name all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Amen. I want to say happy Father's Day again. You know, fathers get excited. We just keep on saying it. Amen. There's a word, a series of passages for your hearing and reading today. In the first book of the Bible, Genesis, 17th chapter, verses 1 through 5. That's Genesis 17, verses 1 through 5. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell face down. And God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I've made you a father of many nations. I want to preach today from the sermonic title on this Father's Day, Terms and Conditions. Terms and Conditions. One of my proud moments, one of the moments that I thank God for, is the fact that he has allowed me to be a father. And now 40 years and some change. And I thank the Lord that I have three wonderful children. Yes, I brag on all of them. And that's what we fathers do. We brag and we support and we love on our children. And not just ours, but we become father figures for countless others who may call us dad. You know, I'll turn around in the middle of the mall. Someone say, Dad. I'll turn around even if my name is not called. Fathers, you know about that. But it's the love and support that you show one to another. And one thing about fathers, we look at the fine details. Amen. We want to know the who and the what and the when and the where and the how. The how, the how much. Amen. We sure do. But when it comes to term and condition, it really is outlining the roles and responsibilities normally between two parties. It is what's on the dotted line. It is what's in the fine print. It is what often is on the last page. And I want to suggest today to our fathers that as fathers, we must be willing to abide by God's terms and conditions. Let me say it again. As fathers, we must be willing to abide by the terms and the conditions of what the Word of God. We think about our biblical character today. His name is Abraham, or really Abram, because that name is going to change very shortly. But the first time we hear his name mentioned, he's 75 years old. He's already at the Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare stage already. And there he is, an encounter with God, because God wants to use him. Book of James says later that Abraham was called a friend of God. How powerful is that? That, yeah, you got friends, one or two, maybe a half a friend, but the fact that God sees you as a friend. So his own father, his name was Terah, and Terah certainly was there in Ur, but he moved his family to Haran. And so at some point, Abraham encounters God. And God says, I'm going to send you to a place that you'll just have to figure out. In other words, he says, I'm sending you to a country. I'm sending you to a place, and the people there will be a blessing to you. And those who bless you, I'll bless them. And those who curse you, I will curse them. I want you to be a blessing. Let me just stop there for a second. Isn't it amazing that God wants to use us fathers to be a blessing? Not just to our families, but a blessing to our communities, a blessing on our workplaces. And so there is this encounter with God and Abraham. Now, but what still gets me in my modern mind, he just packed up and moved. No moving truck, no real destination. I've moved at least three times, lived in three states, Florida, West Virginia, Maryland, and of course the District of Columbia. And each time I either knew someone or heard of someone before I got there, it was a strange place, but it didn't take me long to make friends, to meet people. But can you imagine Abraham packing up, going with no map, but just because God said so, he moves. What a word today. Just because God says, I got some place for you to go, he moves and he goes to a place. Wouldn't it be something to be in Abraham's sandals and say, wow, he's heading someplace that God has called him to go. And so in chapter 17, what we really find is that he's getting closer to ratifying a contract with God Almighty. But I believe some things need to happen or must happen as a prerequisite to this is that you must, first of all, be open, fathers, to be in the presence of God. And then to understand and work out and try and wrestle with the promises of God and always know that there's some parting words. In other words, hear the whole story. Let's look at the presence of God. When Abram was 99 years old, that thing stopped me right there. You mean 99 years old? That with all that's going on in his life, at 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him. Don't take this lightly. That God still speaks, that God still shows up in our experience. He appeared to him. When was the last time the Lord appeared to you in your time of prayer? When was the last time the Lord appeared to you by way of his Holy Spirit? When was the last time that God came into your existence? We call them God moments, but they're moments you won't forget. You're not even 90 yet, maybe. Here's somebody who's 99 says, yes, Lord, I want to be in your presence. And then he says to him, I am God Almighty, El Shaddai, the mighty, powerful one. And isn't it amazing that God has to identify himself, lest we think it's something out of our own imagination? And it's great when he says, what? You're in my presence, but I want you to know who I am. I am God Almighty. This is a big deal that he shows up, even a bigger deal that he speaks to him. Hey, look at that. That he says something, and at this point, Abraham is listening. We got to learn to listen to the Lord. We just completed our end of the Bible study about listening to God. I believe he really speaks, and we must find ourselves in the presence of God. You know, I put down Psalm 46, and it says, be still and know that I am God. In order to hear God, you can't run around. You can't be so busy. I like what has been said once. It says, hurry is not of the devil. Hurry is the devil. He says, I want you to do some things. You're in my presence, but I want you to walk faithfully and blameless in my presence. Now listen, there's some things that we have to do. We haven't signed anything yet. Terms and conditions, it's all in the contract. That there's some things that we're called to do, fathers, and that is to be an example. To do what? To walk faithfully before God. To walk before God believing that even though I can't see it, I believe that it is possible. And fathers, we know what it's like. There are 15 demands, and we don't have the answers. Lord, I just need to believe that you can work it out. Amen. Come on. I can talk to some fathers, whether it be college, whether it be another debt, something. Fathers are saying, I'm just walking, believe you're going to work it out, even if no one else knows the details, even if no one else knows the struggles, and to be blameless. In other words, don't find yourself in situations where you get in tough places, but walk upright as a man. For I've done what? I've made you a father of many nations. You might be the father of your own castle, but you say what? He says, walk before me and I will make you the father of many nations. That makes me feel good. Why? Because this is the one, he's the one that's doing it. But then he gets into the details of the document, of the covenant. It's a promise. Amen? Amen. He says, then what? Then after you walk faithfully, then after you live a blameless life, then after you follow my lead, then and only then will I make my covenant between me and you. Can I pause there for a second? Yeah. It's not between you and someone else, but it's not for the haters. It's a covenant that is personal. It is a contract, an agreement between you and God. I know we get excited. We want to tell everybody what God said to us, when what God has said to us is just for us. Let that sink in for a second. That me and you, and I will greatly increase your numbers. God explains the details. They're confidential. And I will do what? I will bless your children, property, power. I will make the difference in their life. And I love when you think about, well, you're doing something for me. You're making a covenant with me, but I'm not even in the will, in the physical. My name is not on the document in real life. But let me tell you something. You just entered a family of God. Romans 8:17 reminds us that we are what? That we're heirs of God. Let me just, we're heirs of God. You really got something coming to you. You got some peace coming to you, some joy. And won't he supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus? And you are joint heirs with Christ. Now, I don't know about you. If your name is not on the document, that's all right. As long as there's some involvement in the promise from God Almighty, he reminds us of the importance of a promise. Look at that. That I will greatly increase your numbers. I will do something that no one else has done. Folk make promise, the document may fall apart. But when God is involved, he's great. And he's greatly to be praised in the city of our God. I know. We make good on promises sometimes. Oftentimes we do what? We fail on our promises because we're not God. But every time God allows you to make good on something, give him the glory. Father, you try to make it happen. I know you do. I know. Folk don't know. You trying to make it happen. And that's why you are praying before God. And that's why in Abraham's case, he is about to enter this major covenant with God. And that says something to me. Have you made an agreement with God today? Are you still looking over the paperwork? You called your lawyer and says, have my guy call your guy. No. See, God cuts all through that. No middleman here. He's the one in the middle because he's God all by himself. He makes this promise to Abraham.
Amen.
Amen. But it's not just the presence. It's not just the promise. But I believe there are also some parting words. And I couldn't get to that until I got to this. Abram fell face down. Now, that was just dropped in there. It's important. Every word in the text is important. After hearing God speak to him, after hearing God make a promise to him, there was a reaction. He just fell down in awe and began to what? Humble himself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, knowing that in due time that God would exalt him. Fathers, you got to fall every now and then face down before God. I know you big and bad. I know you the man, you dad. But every now and then you ought to fall down before the Lord. You ought to be in his presence. And you know what? I come to you just as I am. That all of a sudden the writer drops this in. He fell face down. He didn't say a word, but there was something that he did. He knew he was in the presence of greatness. He knew he was in the presence of God. And when that happens, if you don't feel humble in the presence of God, Lord, help us. That becomes so, so key. These are parting words. And God says to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. It's repetitive. I'm saying it again, remind you that you will become the father of many nations. You become the father of, not the father of your neighborhood, not the father of your city, not the father of your state, but I'm talking about nations. And when I looked at this and prayed about it this week, he's making you something that you can't make yourself. He's making you something that you can't become on your own. He who begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God sees something in you, Father. I know you hitting it. Some of you got two jobs, three jobs, trying to make it, bringing home the bacon, frying it too. Amen. But God has a way of reminding you of who you are. He makes a promise that he will not break. Look at you. You're going to become what? The father of who? Of many nations. But I love the text because there's a game changer and there's a name changer. He says, you know what? No longer will you be called Abram. Mm-hmm. Say what? No longer will you. But how am I going to sign? No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham. Ah, Abram means exalted one. Abraham means father of many nations. And see, what happens so often, fathers, is that we're trying to operate on an old name. Oh, my God. That we're operating on a name that we had in the world that is known and popular. And you can't operate on that name because God needs to change your name that all of a sudden that it goes with the agreement. I know. Don't try to use that in the good old days, so to speak. But your name is different. Mm-hmm. And now, brothers know this. Fathers know this. You know, we talk stuff and you might give a guy a nickname. Yeah, what they call him on the street. If I went home right now, around my buddies, it wouldn't be, "Hi, Tim Tootin." No, I can't tell you the name, but we all got a name. We got a nickname. Brothers are going to call you because they know you from back in the day. Okay, can I let it out?
Oh, God.
No, I can't tell you that. They call me Bear. Say, "What's up, Bear?" Hey, Teddy Bear. Now, don't you go nowhere with that at all. But we all had names. Some of them we could say in public. Some of them we couldn't. But God wants to change your name, fathers. He wants to change your condition. And it's all in the terms and it's all in the agreement that God has right before you. I thank God today that he sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. Now, there's a name to know. He sent Jesus Christ, and that's part of the agreement. Jesus came. He took a lot of abuse, and he died on an old rugged cross. Never forget this story. He died, but he rose again. He already said on the third day, "I will rise again." And we thank God for sending Jesus and Jesus for dying for our sins. And that helps to make us a better father. Once you give your life to Jesus Christ, now you're becoming a real dad. Now, I know you thought you were somebody, but when your children see you honoring God, or when your wife sees you honoring God, when your community see you honoring God, my God, your stock goes up, not that you might be glorified, but that God might get all of the glory. Well, Reverend, you say, "Well, I thank you for that, but what do I sign? Is there a place on here I need to sign? My name, me and my bad handwriting? Okay, right here. Sign me up for the Christian Jubilee. Write my name on the roll." Mm-hmm. I've been changed since the Lord has lifted me. I want to be ready. Is there another one? Ready when Jesus comes. And that's it. That the agreement is already sealed because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank God for Jesus. And when you get to glory, they won't say, "Wait a minute, I don't have your document on file." The document is on file. Amen? Because it all is in the terms and conditions. So if anybody asks you who I am, tell them I'm a child of God. I agree today that he got me up this morning and started me on my way. I've agreed that he's kept me in my right mind. I've agreed that he gives me peace that passeth all understanding. I've agreed that he's given me joy Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I agree today that I'm going to follow him, that goodness and mercy shall follow me all the day of my life. It's all in the agreement. It's signed, it's sealed, it's delivered.
Yes.
My God, it's all in the terms and conditions.
Oh, yeah.
Fathers, no. Sign the document. Give your life to God today, and your life will be so much sweeter. Well, my God, the document has been done. Thank you, Lord. Even as our choir comes, we'll come back and offer you this agreement of love. Offer is on the table. You don't need time to think about it and say, I'll get back with you. But even now, as you bow your heads, I pray in the name of Jesus that if you don't know Jesus Christ and the pardon of your sins, that you in this moment might accept his offer. It is the only offer that is life eternal. I pray today, even now, that if you've not made that decision, look at the terms and the conditions. You have life eternal. The Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Today, make a decision for Jesus.